1 John 5 and verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Father, I pray that you'll help us to see what you want us to know. There are things you want us to know in your word. You've given us your word, you've written it, and there are things you want us to know. And I pray we'll know those things, not just wonder about them, not just think it, but that we'll know it deep down in our hearts. We'll know it. And I pray that we'll listen carefully, and because of the message today, we'll be different. I pray that lost people will get saved, and that you'll just work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose that with me, it started when I was in elementary school. I don't know exactly what grade that it started, but I wrote one of my first notes, and it went something like this: I like you, do you like me? Check yes or no. It could have been check yes or no, it could have been circle yes or no. I don't remember if I put a little box in there to put a check mark or not. But I wanted them to know, first of all, I wanted them to know that I liked them. Second of all, I wanted to find out if they liked me. And it's sad to say that we have many of our young adults that still do those kind of, no. But it was because I wanted them to know something, and I wanted to find out something for myself, that I put that in writing. And ever since then, I've learned that if you want somebody to know something, you write it down. You put it in writing. And if you want somebody to know, you'll write them a letter. You give them the information you want them to know. My wife and I lived 45 minutes to an hour apart, depending on what I happened to be driving. And so we wrote many, many letters. We're still hoping to find all those letters. Real bad. But we wrote letters. I wanted her to, I asked her questions so I could get to know her. She asked me questions and answered my questions so that we could get to know each other. And if you want someone to know something, you write it down. And you put it in writing. I received a letter just recently, and somebody wanted me to know some, I'm going to call it one of those nasty letters. And they wanted me to know something. I then turned around and wrote them a letter back to let them know some things. And we do that. That's how it works. The Citizens Gas and Consumers, they write us a little thing every month that they want us to know something. They want us to know, first of all, how much we owe, and they want us to know when we owe it by. And then they also include in that, they want us to know that if we don't pay it, it's going to get awful cold. Amen? I mean, that's why they write that thing out and send it to us. And of course, for some folks, we get it in by email and all that. But the same thing, it's written out so that we know what it is. If somebody wants people to know their thoughts about something, they'll write a book. I am currently working on my first book. It's called Unique, and I've already decided to add to it several volumes: Unique 2, Unique 3, Unique 4, Unique 5, Unique 6. Probably I'll never write it, but it's all right here, and I really ought to write it. But again, if you really want people to know, you'll write it down. If you want people to know, you'll write an article, maybe a letter to the editor. And I know Craig Pearson, every now and then, he'll write, our viewpoint, he'll write a letter to the editor because he wants people to know. Usually, he could title his "Think." Really, honestly, that's sad to say, many people in our world today don't think. But again, if you want people to know something, you write it down. If you want them to know how to do something, you write some instructions. And of course, you and I, we especially men, we're terrible about that. We get instructions and we ignore them. And I've been very good at that. As our kids grew up, I'd get instructions to all these toys and all these things. And we take pride in just building that thing the way we think it ought to be. And we're always somewhat disappointed when there's a bag of things left over that we didn't use. We throw them away, never tell anyone about it, and everything works fine anyway. But when you want people to know, you write it down. God wants us to know some things. And again, we have his word that he's written so we could know some things. And certainly there are many things he wants us to know. I'm just going to cover some. But it's interesting, if you notice verse 6, it says, first of all, the Spirit bears witness. Verse 7, it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. Again, witness, record, these are indicating that there's something that we're supposed to know. Verse 8, it says, three that bear witness in earth, and he wants us to know what they have to say. If we receive the witness of men, notice we have the witness of God, and it says it's greater. This is the witness of God, and it goes on and talks about that. And verse 11 said, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And so all these things, we have a witness, we have a record, we have testimony, we have it all put together in the Word of God, and these are the things that God wants us to know. And he's put it in writing so we can know. He's put it in writing so that every person can take the Word of God and read it, and we can know the things that he wants us to know. Praise God for that. And understand, Christianity is so confusing. No, you are confused because you're not reading what he's written so you can know. There is really nothing confusing about Christianity but what a good time of reading the scriptures and a consistent listening to preaching and the right preaching out of the Bible can help you to know. God wants us to know. By the way, he wants us to know, so he makes it very clear. Now, I'll admit, there are many things in the Bible that are deeper and a little harder to understand, but he also wants us to grow so that the Bible is not just for the new Christian. The Bible is also for the Christian who's been saved for a couple of years, but it's also for the Christian who's been saved for 10 years, and it's also for the Christian who's been saved for 20 years, and it's also for the Christian who's been saved for 50 years. I mean, there's something here for everybody, but understand, God wants us to know. He wants you to understand it. I never wrote a letter to my wife when we were dating. I never wrote a letter of mystery. I wrote things that I wanted her to know. I wasn't trying to hide things. If I really wanted her to know, I just spelled it out. And that is the way. By the way, you're a Consumer Electric. They don't say, now you owe a certain amount of money and it's due at a certain time, but you figure it out. They don't do that. Why? They want their money. They want you to know. You owe $250 for the last couple days. You will pay it by this time or else. They want you to know that. Why? Because they want your money. Right? Right. And God is the same way. Not that he wants your money, but God is the same way. He wants you to know some things. It's not rocket science figuring this book out. God says, I want you to know these things. God says, there's some things that I want you to know. Everything in the scripture he wants us to know, but he's not going to have you know it all at once. There's some things that are just very, very simple. And God gave it to us in writing so that we could know. It says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. John used that word know over and over again. In the Greek, it's gnosko, which means to know. And he uses it over and over and over again. And it's because God wants us to know some things. It's because God has made it very clear. He has breathed words from his mouth so that we can know. He has given us instruction. He has told us exactly what he wants us to know. He's breathed those words from his mouth so that you and I can know those things. And there are five things that I want to talk about today. No question about it. He wants us to know because they're written in his word. There's no question about it. There are there are many things he wants us to know, but I want to show you five things today that I think might be as important as anything. Number one is he wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. 1 John 5:20, it goes on, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He says, we know the Son of God has come. Now, look back at chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's John's thinking on this. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, okay? We've seen him with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, look what he says, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Wow. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, hey, I want you to understand this. I've seen him. I've looked at him. I've talked to him. I've touched him. I've shaken his hand. I've been next to him. I've eaten with him. I've done all these things. I declare to you today, he who is eternal life and he who is one you can have fellowship with. He said, I want you to know him. And God says, I want you to know me. You know, ever since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God's fellowship with man and enjoyed that fellowship and walked with man and enjoyed walking with man and spending time with man. And God says, I want you to know me. How sad so many Christians really don't. How sad so many Christians, you know, we've trusted Christ, we've gotten saved, but we've just really never gotten to know God. My wife and I, again, you know, we, back in the old days, gas wasn't that expensive, but you just didn't usually drive just any place. And so we wrote lots of letters. Remember long distance calls? I know it's hard to believe, life before cell phones. And you had to deal with minutes, but we just didn't call that much. It cost a lot of money. Moms and dads, remember moms and dads getting mad at the long distance bill? And you know, we wrote lots and lots of letters. Why? We wanted to get to know each other. I mean, you know, we met love at first sight. No, it's not. There is no such thing. But there sure was a whole lot of like. And so we wrote letters back and forth to get to know each other. You know, God has given us his word so we could know him. You say, well, I just don't feel like I know God. It's because you're not reading his book. It's because you're not in this book. You say, but there's so much I don't understand. Well, go to areas that you can understand. Often I refer to people, read the book of John. Read it over and over. John was the disciple who was leaning on Jesus often, and it was very close. And I believe he knew him very, very intimately and very closely and heard him pray and saw him weep and knew him. Read the book of John. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Read these scriptures that God has breathed so that you can know him. It is so unfair for someone to say, well, God is just so far off. No, but God wants to be so close to you. I used to think, and people would ask me, hey, you, why do you like a girl that lives so far away? And I said, it's not a matter of her living far away. I just like her. And I want to get to know it. Well, they say, you can't really get to know somebody. One of the best ways in the world to get to know somebody is actually read what they say. Letters. You know, you can really get to know somebody. It's hard to, I mean, you know, people write things down that they really mean. They write things down. They kind of think about what they're saying when they're writing things down a whole lot more than when we just shoot off our mouth. Hello. You know, I wonder if they'll hold me to this if I write this down. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you something. God's written it in his word, and you can hold him to every word that he says. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. The truth of the matter is, I've never seen him. Have you? But I can tell you this. I know him. I know him, and I know him because I've read his word. And I want to get to know him even more. I have to keep reading. You need to read his word. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know that he's holy. He wants us to know that he is righteous. He wants us to know his patience and his long-suffering. He wants us to know his mercy. He wants us to know how much he loves us. Just all you have to do is read it. I mean, you cannot read even the book of John. You run into John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, I'm part of that, you know. It's so exciting when the first time, I remember the first time Brenda wrote that the first indication of that L word, amen? I mean, you long for that thing. Oh, I want to hear it, and I want to see it in writing, and that L word, amen? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, you know, you've dated for a while, and all of a sudden, I really like you a lot. You know, but it's always in that signing, amen? That signing, you can get away with it. Love ya. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. Love you. Yeah, that's okay. That's safe. I can write love you because everybody says love you, right? And that's not, you know, that's not such a risky thing. So love you was there. And that was all right. That's in writing. I stared at it for a long time. Woohoo! You know, love you. All right, that's pretty good. But there's nothing like I love you. Oh, man, that melts everything. I think that's when I started losing hair, honestly. But the best one is I will love you always. Woo! Man, that'll fire you up. No, I'm not going to tell that. If you'd have been a little quicker. I wanted to, but you weren't quick enough. Listen, to know that God loves you, to realize God loves you, and what a wonderful thing. He wants you to know that. It's written. It's written. To know His power, to know that He is the Creator, to know that He loves fellowship and He wants to fellowship, to know that He is sovereign. You know, He's in control of everything. To know that He's sovereign and to read His Word in the morning and to go through it and to know that, you know, He's sovereign, well, then you can pick up the newspaper and read anything. Amen? You don't even care what they say about the economy. It doesn't really matter what they say. Another business is closed and another, this is going to happen and that. And you can make it because you know, hey, God, I know You're in control. To know Him. You know why Christians are so nervous and shook up about Him? Because you really don't know Him. You really just don't know Him. To know Him, to know how He is eternal. So many things He wants you to know in knowing Him. He wants you and I to know everything we can about Him and to know Him. Look at John 20, verse 31. Go back to John 20, verse 31. John 20, 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Again, these are written that you can know He is God. Jesus is God. God manifest. God incarnate. God. He is. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that? That's Jesus. John says, hey, you need to know Jesus is God. He's God. You say, boy, if I could just know that all this, you can. It's all in His Word. Get out your Bible. Everybody has a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. We want you to have a Bible. Why? Because of all the things we do as a church, what we've got to do is we've got to let you know the things God wants you to know. He wants you to know Him. To know Him. How do I know? Through prophecy fulfilled, you know He's God. How do I know? Through the miracles He did, you know He's God. How do I know? Through His life, His death, His crucifixion, His resurrection. How do I know? His testimony. How do I know? John's testimony. How do I know? Other people's testimony. Peter, Luke, Paul, James, Mark, all of them. But the best way is just to take God's Word and just read it. And you can know Him. You can know Him, and He wants you to know Him. That you might have life. That you might have life. That you might have life. And that leads us to number two. Number two, He wants us to know the way to heaven. He wants us to know that we're going to heaven. He wants you to know, hey, you are on the way to heaven. Amen? How do you know that, preacher? 1 John 5:13. Many scriptures, but this one we use often. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may know that you have eternal life. He doesn't want you to wonder. He doesn't want you to guess. He wants you to know. Now, we have folks with these GPS things, you know, TomToms and Barneys and all the different things, all right? And, you change the voice and all that kind of stuff. And they tell you, and there's folks just totally trust in that, all right? Now, see, I'm not like that. I want to see it on the map. I want to know what's going on. I want to see it in writing. You're just following that voice, all right? Turn left here, you know, and so you turn left. Turn right here, and so you turn right. Go straight 20 yards, and you go straight 20 yards. And I'm not gonna do I don't like that. But we'll get MapQuest and we'll get Google and you know all these things, and it'll tell you to turn here and turn there. Have you ever been told to turn somewhere in one of those things and there was nowhere to turn? I've had that, and you turned anyway, and you ended up in the field. But my Tom said so. Yeah, well, tell the guy with the tractor pulling you out of the mud. But God, let me tell you something. God's directions are always true. Amen. And he said this. He said, these things. He said, these things have I written unto you. I've written them down. Okay, you cannot find better instructions. I've written them down that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There is absolutely no reason why any person should ever wonder about whether they're going to heaven or not. There is no reason why you should ever wonder, okay, am I supposed to turn left here, turn right here? I mean, am I on the right path to get there? There is no reason anybody should ever, ever wonder about it. Because God said, I wrote it down so you can know. I've written it down so you can have perfect, total, complete confidence. I try to give directions that are very specific. Sometimes people understand, sometimes they don't. You know, you and I, we all do that. Turn left at the tree that doesn't have any branches, you know. That was a bad illustration. But anyway. But, you know, turn right at the ugly house. And you know, people are turning right at 10 different places. And you try. But the truth of the matter is, with God's directions, how do you mess it up? Wait a minute. John chapter 14, verse 6. There is no way to mess this up. There is no way to interpret it wrong. There's no, you know, unless you're a cultist and you just eliminate it. Jesus said, I am the way. Well, that's better than TomTom. Okay, TomTom says, take road 29 miles, okay, and turn right at such and such street. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes that's not right. But Jesus, it's very clear, I am the way. Well, he's obviously talking about religion. No, if he's talking about religion, he would have said, religion is the way. Well, he's talking about a certain movement. No, he would have said then a certain movement is the way. Well, he's talking about doing it his way. Works is the way. No, if he was talking about that, he would have said that works are the way. No, it's very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't miss that. You cannot mess it up. Why? And it's written down specifically so that we can know. God wants us to know. And from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, God gives us illustration after illustration. I mean, come on, the lamb being sacrificed. So clear in Scripture as you read your Old Testament, a lamb had to be sacrificed. We see it over and over in the sacrificial system. We see it at the Passover. We see all these times. The lamb, the blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And then Jesus comes on the scene and John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. How much clearer can it be? It cannot be any clearer. Amen? The brazen serpent in the Old Testament. You know, the story of the brazen serpent. The people are all dying. And so they make a serpent out of brass and said, hold it up. And Jesus makes reference to that and says, as that brazen serpent, as that was held up, even so must the Son of Man be held up. And he's speaking of his crucifixion. It's so obvious. The ark in the Old Testament. If you get on, you're safe. If you don't, you drown. I mean, it's so obvious, and the world wants to say, and religion wants to say, well, there are many roads, and God says, no, there's only one road. There is only one way. It's not there's a whole bunch of ways, and over and over and over and over, Jesus said, I am the door. Not a whole bunch of doors, it's just one door. I mean, come on, you have rooms in your house where there's just one door. How can we not understand that? How hard? Oh, there's multitudes of doors, and you can just go in all the different ways. And Jesus said, and if you do, you're a thief. You can't go in any other way. There's just one way. Amen. There was only one way on the ark, just one door. Oh, illustration. But all that's written so we can know. Why? I just want to make sure I went through the door. That's all. Hey, did you go through the door or not? That's the question. Hey, did you come by way of the blood or not? Did you get on the ark or not? It's not a matter of what you think is a good idea. It's a matter of did you do what it was written? And that's really all that matters, because he wants us to know that we have eternal life. That's why it's so simple. The question is, did you do what he said to do? Amen. That's all there is to it. Did you do what he said to do? It's written. It's written. It's written. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know the way to heaven. He wants us to know there's hope. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, I look around at folks. Some of you don't look like there's much, a whole lot of hope. You better get in the Word. I'm serious about that. I was worried about my Sunday school class. Romans 15, verse 4. There really is hope. I'm telling you. Somebody asked me today, said, how's it going? I said, man, I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. And amen. Amen. There's hope. There's always hope. Well, you know, we lost basketball. You know, basketball doesn't matter. These guys, I told them after the game the other night. By the way, I've had a losing weekend, honestly. All my teams have lost. Red Wings embarrassed me. I mean, embarrassed you too, right? But I'm just saying, you know, none of that's going to matter. I told the fellas after, I said, you know what, this time next year, you're not even going to care. Hello. In fact, probably this time next week they won't care, because we're going to go out and win that other tournament. But the truth is, you know, with God's Word, he wants us to always know there's hope. There is no gloom and doom with God. Come on, we are more than conquerors. Amen. My God shall supply all your need. Well, my guts are growling, but you could live off what's there for a while. Amen. Come on, we're Americans. I'll tell you what, you want to see America at its finest, go to Golden Corral and watch the world tip. If anything's going to throw us out of balance, it's Golden Corral. I'm serious. Just watch. Go in there sometime. I challenge you. And in my mind, I see the earth going, whoo, 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 because it's a little outweighed right in that little section right there. Amen? We can live off of what we got. I'm telling you, there just isn't a whole lot of skinniness running around. But you know what? There's hope. There really is hope. Well, the economy. But God doesn't look at it that way. God looks at it that I'm going to supply all your need. Amen? You know, there's hope. Let's get to the scripture. Romans 15, verse 4. I'm having a good time because I just think about the last time I was at Golden Corral. And seriously, I was, my table, we were wedged. Anyway, were you there, Kelvin? Yeah, you're always there. Kelvin is thinking about becoming part owner. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Notice we're talking about what's written, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. God wrote it down so you could have hope. Amen. You know, one time, I can't believe she did this, but Brenda broke up with me. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I don't know what her problem was, because, I mean, I've always been what I am. And now you know what her problem was. But some of you can't believe she ever got back. But I remember so clearly getting out her old letters. And you know what I did? As I read those old letters where I put, do you like me, check yes or no, she checked yes. And I think, you know what? I didn't really write that. But I started reading those old letters, and it gave me hope. It gave me hope. Are y'all listening to me? Do you know, sometimes I've got to get out his word, and because I read the paper. Sometimes I read the religion page, and I know better than to do that now before Sunday. I've learned not to do that. But sometimes I'll read that, and I'll think, is anyone doing anything for God? You know, sometimes I look at church advertisement, and I look at, you know, the Burger King churches, have it your way, and I look at the Barney churches, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, let's all hold hands and play, or whatever it is, and I look at all that kind of stuff, and the rock concert churches and the rap churches, and I think, you know, the Elijah syndrome is starting to come on. You know, are we all alone? And then all I have to do is get out the scripture. There's hope. None of that catches God off guard. He said it was going to be like that in the end times. Then I start thinking, hallelujah, this is the end time. Amen. Maybe this is it. And then I get out the paper and I get excited at all the heathenism. I get excited about all the paganism. I get excited about all the people that are going astray. Hey, maybe this is it. Come on, Lord. Somebody said he's polishing the trumpet. Oh, wow. Although I don't think he has to. Humanism teaches there's no hope. You know why? You say, well, man's getting better and better. Yeah, but we die. What a terrible thing if you're better when you die. Think about it. But Eastern religion teaches reincarnation. Hallelujah, you could come back as a dog. Worse yet, you could be a cat. You could be a cow. Reincarnate. I mean, what hope is in, well, you know, karma. We have to. So now you got to remember all the bad things you did in the last 20,000 years, you know, so you can make up all your karma. That is so stupid. There's no hope in it. You don't know. Okay, am I paying for bad or am I getting good? I don't know. And so everything bad is because I was bad, or everything's good is because I need to be good. And and Catholicism and purgatory, that'll cheer you up. Hey, you don't have to worry about hell, just purgatory for a few billion years. Yeah, you're going to burn for a while. You'll be pretty crisp when you come out, but one day it'll be cool. That's not encouraging. You know, there's hope, folks. I'm telling you. I'm not talking about just heaven. I'm talking about here. I'm happy here. I can have a good time here. Oh, sure, we get down, but all you got to do is get out the letter and read the letter. He said, I love you always. Amen. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm with you all the time. Hey, it's up to you. Read the letter. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, there were some times, when she lost total sense and broke up, I got out those old letters and it said, I love you always. And I held on to that always. And they still smelled good. you start reading the paper too much and listening to the news too much. You better get out the letter. Amen. Because there's hope. There's hope. And no matter how bad it gets, it's going to get good. Amen. There's hope of heaven. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Well, I hope I can encourage. I hope somebody gets encouraged today, seriously. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Notice what he says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It doesn't matter. You know, we know what we are. We know who we are, but he's able to keep what we commit. He's able. I can't keep my word, Lord, but he's able to keep your word. He's able to do it. Oh, there's such a hope of heaven. There's a hope of blessings. I mean, just any time. You say, I'm in the valley. Well, hallelujah. At the end of the valley is always a mountain. Get excited about the mountain then. Quit whining in the valley and get excited about the mountain. Glory to God. There's hope of answered prayer. Look at 1 John 5, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Those aren't we guess. Those aren't I hope so. Those are we know that he'll answer our prayer. Hey, there's hope of that. There's hope of happiness. Oh, I'm so sad. Well, there's hope of happiness. Read his word. There's hope of your needs being met. That's one of the fun things about being needy. Hello? That's one of the great things about being needy is when God meets the need. I don't know if there's any more fun in the world than God meeting your need. And you know God did it. Amen. Well, I just like to be, you know, where everything's just always there. Mm. There's hope of your needs being met. There's hope of comfort. There's hope of his love. Oh, there's hope of his coming. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Look at it. And again, we're still in 1 John. But it's all over there. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that means no sin. that means all that wickedness that you think and you do and you act and you're frustrated and you get mad and it pulls on you and you give in and you get right and you give in and you get right. And all of that's going to be gone. Amen. And it's going to be so good. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's hope. There's hope for us. Amen. There's hope. I'm just a wicked old vile sinner, but in heaven you won't be. Amen. In heaven, we're going to have a good time. Won't be any jealousy. Won't be any envy. Won't be any wickedness. No gossip. None of that kind of stuff. Won't be any surmising. I wonder what they're thinking. Who cares? Do you know that you're glad you don't know what people think? You'd be absolutely miserable.
They hate me. They think I look fat. They think my hair's messed up.
There's hope. I'm telling you, there's hope. He's coming. He's coming. Next time you see all this negative stuff, understand, he wrote that was all going to happen. Number four, he wants us not only to know him and to know our way to heaven and to know there's hope, but he also wants us to know humanity. Oh, yeah, he gave us the Word of God. And I make reference to this all the time. I love to see the humanness of humans. You say, that's a deep statement. Yeah, write it down. Because it helps me so much. It helps me when God says, here's what happened. You know, God writes it down. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. And I think I've mentioned this before because I just love this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. It says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All these things, everything God wrote down, things happened so we could see it. We could see that David sinned. Was he a man after God's own heart? Bible says he was, but he sinned. So we could see Paul and his frustration in Romans 7. I want to do right, but I do wrong. We could see that. So we could see Samson. So we could see Peter. And he denies Christ. He says, I'll never deny you. And then he turns right around and denies him. Are you listening? Do you ever see yourself in any of those Bible characters? Oh, how many times? How many times do we see ourselves? Well, I'd never do that. And 1 week later, you're doing it. Huh? Praise God. Someone else did it. And God recorded it. I used to think, and when I first got saved, I thought, God, don't tell people about that. You know, we don't want people to know about David. Yeah, that's pretty bad stuff David did, and we sure don't want anybody to know about, you know. And I used to think, oh, that's, you know, that's bad. But then all of a sudden, I saw myself in those characters. And I saw, you know, God used them in spite of them. And I realized that's all God has to use is sinners. And that's when I figured God could use me to know humanity, to know that there's really nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. And so God is honest, and he gives us the whole story, and he gives us examples of people who blew it, like Lot and Moses and David and Jonah. And we need to know that, and that's why he wrote it down. And we need to know that people do mess up. Then we need to know that God forgives. And we need to know that God can still use us. If I didn't have those examples, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I could be encouraged to keep going. We need to know about Job, don't we? Isn't it good to see that God doubled everything that he had? And it's not about the things. It's about he came forth as gold for God. I'll be honest with you. The one thing that has helped me through trials is consider my servant Job. Those words come to mind so many times when I think of God telling Satan, hey, serpent, there's my servant. Look at my servant Job. You know, can you go through the fire knowing that God in heaven has pointed at you and said, here's one of mine. Here's somebody that loves me. Here's somebody that will be faithful. Here's someone. Look at him. There's one of my trophies. We need to know about that. We need to know about David killing Goliath. We need to know about Daniel in the lion's den. We need to know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We need to know about Elijah on Mount Carmel. We need to know about Paul in Ephesus. We need to know how Stephen was stoned and how Peter preached at Pentecost after he denied Christ. We need to see him there preaching when he knew in his heart that he had let down his Savior. We need to know about Paul in jail rejoicing. We need to know about Peter in jail and God letting him out. And him going to the little prayer meeting where the people were praying that he'd get out. And he said, hey, let me in. They said, no. And he said, well, what are you doing? We're praying for Peter to get in. He said, I'm out. I'm Peter. No, we can't let you in. We need to know that. Do we ever pray and the answer is right in front of us? Oh, I'll tell you, we need to know it. And it's all written so we can know it. And it tells us how to have victory. We need to know humanity. We need to know we are more than conquerors. We need to know our team wins. How many games would be so much easier if we knew we were going to win? Wouldn't that be great? You just know the outcome already. You know, Zach brings the ball down like this. It's kind of like he did the other day, actually. But it would have been the safest thing. But seriously, I mean, you just shoot a shot. You know, Curry could shoot half-court shots. We know we're going to win. You know, seriously, God wants to take the pressure off of you. That's why he wants you to know humanity. Humanity fails. But if you're saved, you always can come out on top. Always. Last thing, number five. He not only wants us to know him, and he wants us to know the way to heaven, and he wants us to know there's hope, and he wants us to know humanity. But number five, he wants us to know how to live. I don't know how to, you know, how would we know what to do and how to live? He's written it all down, how to live. No, look at Joshua. Go back to the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1. And many perhaps have this verse memorized. Joshua chapter 1. In verse 8 it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And he says, I've written it down so you can know how to be successful and how to live. And you know, everybody desires that. My wife and I, we were talking on the way back from the basketball game the other day, and talking about how no one says, I hope I fail. You know, I'm my goal in life is to be a flop. Nobody says that. Nobody entering into a marriage says, well, you know, we're planning that we're going to go ahead and get married now, but we figure within the next couple years we'll be divorced. Well, I'm going to teach the Sunday school class, but I know I'm going to be a flop. I'm going to take a bus route, but I already plan on failing. Nobody does it. Everybody enters into these. Okay, I want this thing to work out. I want to be a success. I want to be a success in this ministry. I want to be a success on this job. I want to be a success in my marriage. We want to be successful parents. That's what we look at. God says, okay, I've written the instructions for you. I've written them down. So you can be a success. Your service, your job, your family, your church, you. You can be a success. The Bible says, just shall live by faith. You have to trust God as you read the instructions. You have to trust him. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If the just shall live by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, I'm going to have to start learning the word of God so that I can have the faith, so that my life can be a success. Do you know that much of how to live is involves faith? The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do as far as our giving. You know, we're supposed to give. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's faith. Amen. Is that faith or is it not faith? I mean, I've testified in my first time that I actually tithe. I had faith enough to put it in the plate, but I kept wanting to take it out. Amen. I mean, I looked at how big the usher was. Honestly, I wanted to go get my check back. Now, I ended up having enough, but again, that's everything in life. There's going to be faith involved, but you have no faith if you don't get in the Word of God. Success. That's what we ought to want. And God's written it in His Word. Let me close with John chapter 13 and verse 17. John 13, verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Every time you know something, once you learn something, happy are ye if you do it. I suppose the most unique thing about Christianity and what I've experienced since I was saved at the age of 17 was once I knew something, I wasn't happy till I did it. Are y'all listening to me? Once I knew something, I was not happy until I did what I was supposed to do. I sat in church and heard the preaching. And by the way, before I got saved, I knew how to be saved, but I was not happy until I got saved. In fact, every time a preacher got to the invitation, I cringed because I wasn't saved. I knew how to be saved, but I didn't do it. I had not done it yet. Once I did it, every invitation about salvation, well, I was sure happy. I was glad I made that decision. Preacher preached, said you need to get baptized. My first initial thought was, oh, my hair will be a mess. It's amazing how times change. But you know what? I knew I needed to get baptized, and I wasn't happy till I got baptized. I knew that I needed to join the church, but I wasn't happy until I did join the church. When I learned about areas of my life that had to be changed, and every message was pretty much pointed at the two hippies sitting in the middle of the church. I knew it, but I wasn't happy till I did it. You say, you know, Christianity, I'm just not real happy in it. Well, you will be, because the problem is you know these things, but happy are ye if you do them. Amen. You got to do them. You got to do them. And that's the key. Because He wants us to know it. And the knowing it is sometimes not the hard part. The hard part is, what are you going to do about it once you know it? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.